on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Welcome one, welcome all. Welcome to the Believe in Iowa State podcast with main host Tyler Carter. Cody will not be in today as he had other prior serious engagements. Today, our show, we have a treat for you. We're going to go have a deeper dive into the recruiting classes of 2024 and 2025. And I just thought it would be cool to bring on no other than my friend, Eric Hessing, and also the former host of the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Eric, how are you doing today?
Oh, Tyler, I'm doing well. Doing well. Enjoying summer. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing good, but I'm going to need some ISU football in my life. But I'm hanging in there. But I definitely want to dive deep into this 2024 class, and I have a few questions to ask you. The first question for me is, who are some of the guys to watch in 2024 on offense and defense?
Oh, man. Well, how long do you have, Tyler?
I got time, man. I got time.
Yeah. So, you know, I think we kind of need to start off looking back at, like, where, how far we've come from, you know, just a few years ago, just at the beginning of the Campbell era, and even in the Rhodes era, and even if you really want to go back to the Chizik era, we can. I try to weigh the talent level of an entire class from year to year to year to see how we're growing as a program. And that kind of indicates how far you've come, how far your brand has come, what kind of talent you could expect, if you can expect guys to get to the NFL. There's so many things that I look at when I'm just like doing this for fun, looking at the different recruits that we're getting, where they rank against guys like Mike Warren or Sheldon Crony and other guys like that when they came in, like looking at Dylan Lee, our running back for the class of 2024. How does he compare to a guy like Mike Warren or Breece Hall or Eli Sanders? Like, it, talent wise. And overall for the class of 2024, I think this is a significantly underrated class, especially for certain pieces that we have. This is a significantly underrated class, unheralded class. And I think it's something that Iowa State fans should be really excited about. So when you're asking about guys that I would look for, I'm going to kind of break it up into offense and defense.
Sure.
Just kind of, you know, make it a little easier for the audience, because sometimes I can go on tangents and kind of ramble and kind of want to get focused in. So for the offense, some guys that I really, really like would have to be Cooper Alexander, a guy who came in the spring. He's a tight end. We snagged him over Oklahoma. He was a very high three-star prospect. I think he should have been a four-star prospect. He was listed in the top 100 freshmen to watch by 24/7, just like a couple days ago. He's one of those guys that if you really liked the 6'6" tight end, big bodied kind of Charlie Kohler, Chase Allen types, that's not what he is. He's more of a receiving threat. He's a really good blocker, but he's more of a receiving threat, fast tight end. He's 6'4". Probably. And so if you're looking for a 6'6" tree kind of guy, that's not who he is, but he's a really good route runner. And he's one of those guys that kind of reminds me of like a, I know this is going to be a little stretch, but like a Travis Kelce, not crazy, crazy fast, but fast. He's got wheels, but you're not going to look at him and be like, oh, he's a big beef bag. Can't, you know, tackle him. No, that's not what Cooper Alexander is. But I think Cooper Alexander as a prospect, and this is going to be wild, as a prospect is a step above Charlie Kohler.
Oh, interesting.
Charlie Kohler was kind of an underrated prospect type guy, but he wasn't very fast. And he was more of a cerebral player, and turns out to be more of a cerebral player when he got to Iowa State. I think that Cooper Alexander, he could be a cerebral player. I'm not too familiar yet, but as far as his athleticism, he's a step above Charlie Kohler. So Cooper Alexander, he's one of the guys that I like. Dylan Lee, we got a good look at him in the spring game. He's a running back from Arizona. Really good agility. He's a big body, physical, very good-looking running back. I know the staff was like over the moon about him. He tested off the charts when they went to go test him to see, you know, if he would be a good fit for Iowa State. He tested better than Breece Hall.
Wow!
when you saw that in the spring game, him make some cuts and some good plays. That was not a one off type deal right there. He's a very good prospect. He's in a loaded room, so it might take a couple of years for us to see really what he can do. But he's one of those guys that I really like. Another guy is Dominic Overby. Really unheralded recruit.
Bro has crazy speed, man.
He runs a 10-500 meter dash, 6'4" wide receiver, really good ball skills, pretty good route runner, still needs to develop that, but he's a high school kid from, you know, rural Utah. We'll get to him in a little bit, but yeah. There's a reason why when he went from like unranked, unheralded Utah receiver to the top receiver or the top prospect in Utah last year, middle of the pack, 4-star, one of the highest rated guys on on3.com that we've ever gotten. Like, he is the real deal. We'll talk about him a little bit. I don't want to, you know, I kind of want to keep it moving. But another guy is Keaton Roskup, mm-hmm. The tight end from Linmar. He's going to play fullback. One of my favorite positions on the field, just a like a gritty, tough dude. He was also a really high-rated guy, got offers from Texas A&M, a bunch of other places. I love that guy. He plays a selfless position. I like when the Rust Bus is done, I can't wait for an actual like 4-star caliber player to get into that fullback position, because we usually had like converted linebackers and walk-ons, and nothing against those guys. They were very, very good players. But
yeah,
like Jared Russ and Steve O'Klotz.
Yeah, we were talking about him the other day. We were just talking about how that one athletic catch he had against Cincinnati.
Oh yeah. Don't get me wrong. They're really, really good players. But I think when you have a 4-star athlete type guy come in and train at that position for 4 years, that could be a big time asset.
Oh, sure.
A glorified tight end, like blocking type dude. I mean, Jared Russ came in and he was going to be, you know, a running back, tight end type thing, you know, walk on guy. I don't even know what Steve O'Klotz was, but he was a walk-on type guy. Sam Seenbuckner, probably one of my favorite Cyclones ever. He was a linebacker for a couple of years. When we get in a guy who actually knows, like, I'm going to train at this position for several years, that's going to be really interesting to see how he develops. And then I really like this Garrett Rutledge guy that we got in, and Dontrell Holt. They're both linemen, really good prospects. For defense, I like Cale Brezina, linebacker, came in for spring. He got hurt, but he's one of those, you know, quote-unquote Mike Rose clones that we love. Just big, physical, nasty type dude, probably going to play, you know, middle linebacker. And, you know, I mean, just think about all those Mike Rose type dudes that we got.
That is true.
He just fits the bill. I'll kind of group all these guys together so we can continue on, but I just like all the cornerbacks, Quinton Taylor, Kajon Cummings-Coleman, and David Coffey. All of them are really, really high-level cornerbacks, guys that we haven't really had that type of talent level. Like, Miles Purchase was really good. Mm-hmm. We didn't think TJ Tampa was going to play cornerback, so, you know, I'm going to kind of not group him in there, but really we've kind of – as a program, we've kind of neglected the cornerback spot for several years now. And, you know, this year we're kind of like, we have three guys. Ha, right. Ha, ha. But I think the three recruits that we brought in, all high level cornerback prospects, guys that we really haven't brought in before. Another guy that I would add is, Jace Gilbert, the lineman. He's just really filled out his body well. 6'6" edge rusher. I think he's the real deal. Very athletic guy. He was the first commit of this class. What more can I say? But yeah, so those are the kind of the guys that I really, really like in this class. I guess what else do you got?
Oh, sure. So, and out of those guys, who do you think will have time on the field, like for offense, defensively? Who do you think will get playing time, or you think who by the end of the year will not be able to get off the field because they're playing so well?
Ooh, so for this year?
Yes.
Ooh, man, you know, I would probably. I know that we got a lot of so. The good thing about Iowa State is we have a lot of really good depth this year. And a lot of we have a lot of proven depth. The kind of downside to that is if you're a recruiting nut like me, you can't really see the payoff of every single guy until, you know, year two or year three.
Right.
We're not going to take out Rocco for Connor Moberly, even though I think Connor Moberly is a really, really good quarterback.
Of course, yeah. That would just be nuts.
I mean, Connor Moberly is better, significantly better than any Rhodes quarterback that came in.
Oh, and, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm just spitting facts here. Like, that's.
You're spitting, bro. You really are.
Like, that's the truth. Is Connor Moberly is better than any quarterback that Paul Rhodes brought in. But there's a guy named Rocco Beck on the team.
Right. So,
like, I don't know what to say. For this year, though, we kind of have to take a look at the positions that get a lot of rotation to see if there's a guy that could sneak in. I think the guys that I would say, we got to look at the receivers, because even though I think we have several good receivers, the starting three are going to be really good. I think Isaiah Alston, who I would say is like the fourth wide receiver, he's a really good wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Benny Ngoyi is really good. He'll also get on the field a lot. But for that sixth wide receiver, if we're going to do like a total line change, I got to go Dominic Overby. He's one of those guys where you put him out there to see what he can do. And, you know, if he doesn't really do well in, like, the North Dakota game or the Arkansas State game, or if he's not ready yet, you can kind of, you know, pull him to the side and say, you know, it's probably not going to be this year. But Dominic Overby is one of those guys where his potential is so high due to his speed, his length, his fluid natural running ability that's really, like, he looks like Jerry Rice running routes. Now his routes aren't as crisp as Jerry Rice, but he kind of looks like that, where if you have a guy like that, you gotta try him out. And I think Dominic Overby is one of those guys. And the other guys that I would put in, you got Cooper Alexander. If he's gonna be a receiving threat, if we're going to utilize Rocco Beck to his top, like, potential, he's going to be throwing the ball 40 times a game. I know, like, if Matt Campbell, the coaching staff, they're listening to that, they're like, la, 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 we want to run the ball.
Run the ball, run the ball.
If, If we want to get the most out of Rocco Becht, he's got to be throwing 40 times a game. And he's going to be throwing to the proven players on offense that we have in Jaden Higgins, Jalen Knoll, Eli Green. And I think, you know, Dominic Overby and Cooper Alexander out there catching balls, that's something that I really want to see.
I don't know if you saw this, but with Cooper Alexander, I believe the Iowa State football Twitter teased that him on one of their posts.
Yeah, that's because 24/7 was putting out their list of like 100 most likely to see the field freshmen or something. I don't know the exact level of it, but it was like the top 100 most likely to see the field freshmen. And Cooper Alexander was on that list.
Okay.
So
that makes sense then.
I would like to see him on the field.
Shoot. I mean, I do too, man. I mean,
and what I would say for if we're talking about the defensive side of the ball, that's another thing where we got to look at where are the holes? Where are the spots where guys can come in? I think safety is pretty loaded up. I mean, we got the starting three, they're all going to play in the NFL. And then we got guys like Tayshaun James, Jameson Patton, and Drew Surges. I don't see where the holes are there. The linebackers were loaded. Defensive line, we got some pretty good players. I mean, Jace Gilbert, maybe. But I'm not going to put any promises out there about him playing because, you know, that's a position where you need to be a man. And, you know,
right.
That's one where you really do well with redshirting and whatnot. The farther away from the ball you get, the less likely you need to be redshirted. If you're right over the ball, you probably need a redshirt. You're probably not a grown man yet. I would say the most likely position is cornerback. Because if somebody gets hurt there,
you're going to go.
So I would say the guy that I would say most likely would play would probably be Quentin Taylor.
What the?
Pretty good. Did you get me?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, sorry. Okay. We had a little bit of technical difficulty, but continue.
Sure. Yeah, it would be Quentin Taylor because he knows the defense and, you know, he can plug and play right in there if he's ready to go. The guy I would most look for to be like that guy, though, come the end of the season where they can't keep him off the field would be Kajon Cummings Coleman.
Okay.
So I see him with the most talent, I would say. And David Coffey, too. Like, David Coffey is really good. The guy from De La Salle in Chicago. All these dudes. I mean, Kajon and David, those two guys, they run 10 700-meter dashes. It's not like they're just going to get burned by these Big 12 wide receivers based on athleticism. They really only not be ready to go because they're still learning the defense. Once they learn the defense, I think they're going to be really good players. But yeah, so those are kind of the guys that I would say, like, immediately getting on the field, I would say those guys.
Nice, nice. Okay, I really, really like that. That's definitely solid analysis. Now another leading question is, who do you think at the end of their time will have, or at least right now, do you see having the most potential in this group?
For offense, I mean, I'm going to be a homer. Well, not really a homer. I'm going to be a fanboy and just say Dominic Overby.
Okay.
Because I love wide receivers. I love fast wide receivers. And, you know, he's just kind of that's just me being biased and just really, really liking him.
Sure.
But I got it straight from the norm. I usually just focus on skill guys because, one, I don't really know the trenches too well, and also because running backs are fun.
Wide
receivers are fun.
Yes.
Quarterbacks are fun. And then I could still be a fan in that. So, look at how many touchdowns he's scoring. Oh, my gosh. That's incredible. But the guy that I would say has the highest upside is going to be an offensive lineman. And
yeah,
that's Garrett Rutledge. Garrett okay. Rutledge from Lewis Central and Council Bluffs probably has, with Dominic Overby, probably has the highest upside. And, I mean, there's a lot of Cyclone fans listening to this to going, yes, finally, an offensive line. Finally. I think Garrett Rutledge, he's the truth. And he's, when I watched him, he has great, great feet, great leverage, great athleticism. He's a big dude. You know what you look for in an offensive lineman for a college system. I think he's going to play tackle, and just it's looking at offensive line recruits is kind of difficult for me because sometimes you're kind of like they all look the same. Garrett Rutledge looks a little different than the other guys that we have brought in, so I could be totally wrong, but I think when you see the guys that the staff offers late and makes a push for, those are usually the guys that they're like, okay, we were kind of done the class, but let's add this guy because we need him.
Right.
You saw that with Eli Sanders, who had, you know, he had a good career.
Mm-hmm.
You saw that with a couple other guys. Some names are like, kind of Brock Purdy. I mean,
yeah, Brock Purdy.
We had an Elite 11 quarterback committed to Iowa State, and we said, man, let's go get Brock Purdy. And, you know, that was kind of a good choice. So I think Garrett Rutledge is one of those guys that I'm really excited to see his progression. I don't think it's going to be this year.
Sure.
Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe it will be this year, but, you know, he'll have to overtake Jalen Travis. But I'm hoping that he's that good because the offensive line is a critical piece to the offense.
It so, sure is, because otherwise you can't do a thing.
As for the defense, I'd probably say the highest upside guy is there's so many guys that could be really good here. I would – Jace Gilbert, just okay. because his body –
yeah. And his
athleticism, is he going to be – I mean, he's kind of like that – he's not like Will McDonald. He's not nearly the same type of athlete, but he's kind of like Will McDonald where it probably will take 2 years for him to get to where he needs to be to play. But when he gets there, he's going to be unstoppable. The safeties as well, so Marcus Neal and Carson Van Dinter, both those guys have stellar speed. They're big safeties, really good tacklers. Marcus Neal won Player of the Year in Missouri for both offense and defense. Carson Van Dinter won. He was a first-team All-State in Wisconsin for safety. Both these guys are really, really good talents. I just think that the safety position is so loaded that it just might take them a couple years to see the field. So yeah. And then I got to throw another guy in, Bo Goodwin,
okay.
just because Bo Goodwin's a freak, 6'4" linebacker. And he's a freak. He's another guy that we brought in late. And even though we had several linebackers, I mean, we had three linebackers already committed to a team that only plays three linebackers. We go out, we get Bo Goodwin, a fourth linebacker. He's ridiculous. I just think he needs to learn how to play in a big-time system against big-time opposition because he's from – Tyler, he's from Kingsley Pearson. Do you know where Kingsley Pearson, Iowa is?
Where is that, bro?
I have no idea. I have no idea. So, yeah. He might need a couple of – he might need a year or two to figure out how to play against real competition. So, yeah, those are kind of the guys that I think have the highest upside.
Cool. So, I think that's we've delved deep into 2024. Let's just look more into the future, and let's look in 2025. I have a few questions to ask you about 2025. Sure. So the first question is, who do you think the headliner of the 2025 class is?
Well, Tyler, let me ask you, who do you think the headliner is? I mean, I don't know how well you know the class, but I guess who do you think the headliner is? Who do you think I'm going to say?
The obvious answer for me would be Alex Mansky. But for you, I have a feeling it's either you're either going to say Jack Limbaugh or you're going to say Xavier Robinson.
Not going to lie, Tyler, I was kind of hoping that you wouldn't guess him. it's Jack Limbaugh. He's a freak, dude. He's an absolute freak. He plays defensive line. He's 6'4", 220 pounds. He's from Algona, so he's from the same high school as Alex Mansky.
Mm-hmm.
He's a freak, dude. Freak. I don't know if he could – I don't know if he'll play, like, defensive tackle. He could, but I think he'll probably stay at edge. Just a freak. Absolute freak, Tyler. Because I haven't really talked to you much about this class yet. So, like, I was really interested to see who you're going to think I was going to say. But yeah, it's Jack Limbaugh. He's a freak. Absolute freak. And, you know, me and you have to go up to Algona sometime for a game. I don't know when you're planning on coming. But yeah, we got to go up and check him out.
It honestly depends on my work schedule. But yeah, I'm going to be going up to Algona with you. And, and obviously everywhere else, I want to see Xavier in person. And one of the other guys who is actually really close to me, which is Mason Allen. I had a question about him.
Sure.
What do you think are some of Mason Allen's best traits? Like what makes him a good player?
Well, you know, if you watch his huddle tape, and I would suggest everybody go do that because it's pretty fun. He's an elite return man. And if Matt Campbell and co is going to stick to their word, they're going to be like every yard matters, you know, down and distance, you know, all those little cliche things, three stages of the games, offense, defense, special teams. If we're going to practice what we preach, we have to have an elite return team. We have to have an elite special teams. And Mason Ellens is one of those guys that can turn you starting on your own 25 and having to drive the length of the field to hopefully get points. You could start at your own 45. Now, when you think about the psychology of football, if you think about the psychology of the players, when you start at your own 45, the defense is also thinking, oh, great. Now our back's kind of against the wall already.
Right.
They just need to get a first down or two, and they're already in field goal range. I mean, think about that. Think if we only had to get like two first downs in a drive, and then we can kick a field goal. We know we have automatic points. I mean, that's kind of how Iowa plays. I know that's kind of like blasphemy to say in this podcast, but that's kind of how they play.
It's it's facts, man. That's how they win 10 games.
We only need to get two first downs or a first down, and we score points. Now, it's funny because half the time they can't do that. Right. But that's kind of the psychology of the game they're playing. Mason Ellens is a guy that can unlock that. That if you use him well, if you use him right, he will be able to get you down to the opponent's 35 on a punt.
Yeah, those hidden yards are crucial, man. Like those are the difference between winning and losing games.
That's the game. It's the game. So Mason Ellens could be a pivotal piece. If we're going to use him for his strengths, which is, you know, in the return game, that's a pivotal piece to winning a ton of games, close games. That's a pivotal thing. And I mean, apart from that, he's a physical freak. He runs a 10-7 100-meter dash. Now, when I say that, most people go, oh, okay, 10-7. We rarely got guys. Over the past decade, we rarely got guys that could run a 10-7. Rarely got guys that could do that. And he comes in, he's a junior that runs a 10-7. He might, you know, hopefully improves to like a 10-5. 10-5, when people think about like 10-5, they go, oh, that's a number. Let me quantify that for you. Kene Wangu, when he was a senior in high school, his 100-meter time was 10.55. Dominic Overby's already faster than that. Brett Eskildsen, who's another wide receiver coming in this in the 2024 class, is already faster than that. Mason Ellens, he could be faster than that. If he, like, everybody talks about Kene as this guy that super fast, can't catch him type guy. We got guys coming in who are faster than him. Mason Ellens could be faster than him. Mason Ellens, a physical freak. And he's 6 foot, so he got good size, and has really good coverage skills. I'm interested to look more into him. You know, me and you are probably going to go to a game of his.
Yeah.
Whenever I decide to come home, you know, whenever we have like a bye week or something or a away game, I'll come home and we can check him out. But
yeah, I'm definitely going to check him out personally since I live right down the street. But yeah,
just the athleticism alone is enticing, and his ability in the return game, and of what I've seen of his defensive skills, he's a really good player. We rarely got guys like this. He's going to play safety for Iowa State, but when it, like this guy, like we rarely got guys like this, Tyler. So what I would say about Mason Ellens, when you ask me about Mason Ellens, he's one of, we haven't seen many guys like him before.
Man, that makes me really, really excited.
He's right down the street from you.
And he's right down the street from me, man. Glenbar West, bro.
Yeah.
Trust me, you better believe I'll be at a lot of their games this year. So another guy that's really, really exciting, and that goes to Valley, which is in your neck of the woods, Xavien Robinson. So for me, one of my questions is, what stood out to you in Xavien Robinson's film that made you think that he would be a great fit for Iowa State?
So we kind of have to put a little bit of context in the Xavien Robinson recruitment. He wasn't able to play his junior year because of an injury. So we're going off of sophomore year and freshman year here. He has very good athleticism. And one of the things that I think was a point of growth for the Campbell staff over the past couple of years is – and where they've grown the most is in their wide receiver recruitment. Noah Pauley, I don't think people appreciate the Noah Pauley hire as much as they should.
He's so underappreciated, dude.
Noah Pauley will go down as one of the better Iowa State coaches. I think the coaching staff this year, I don't think we've ever had a better coaching staff.
So I completely agree with you, man.
Because for years, you know, and I'm not trying to bash on the team. Everybody learns. Everybody makes mistakes. I think we were making mistakes on trying to find another Hakeem Butler and Allen Lazard. I think we were trying to put the parameters on ourselves where we're saying we're going to get the 6'6" wide receiver that you just throw jump balls up to. We don't have Kyle Kemp anymore. We don't need to throw jump balls,
right?
Like, and we have, you know, Rocco Becht. We have, you know, guys like Brock Purdy. And what we've grown into, and Noah Pauley has helped with this progression, is we've looked at wide receivers for what makes wide receivers great and haven't put ourselves into really specific parameters in what we think make wide receivers great. So what Noah Pauley looks at is guys that are very athletic. You know, they have the ability to become a top wide receiver based on their athleticism, and also guys that are ballers, guys that can run routes, and guys that are just natural wide receivers that can just. The most important thing about a wide receiver is, can they get open? And that's what he looks for. That's what Dominic Overby and Brett Eskildsen do very, very well. And they do that through their athleticism and their route running. Those are the two wide receivers that he brought in the last class. And that's what Xavier Robinson does very well. He gets open.
Right.
And, you know, when he gets the ball, he's very good with the ball in his hands. He's a good route runner, but he gets open. And that's the most exciting thing that you can see if you're evaluating wide receivers is, are they getting open? He gets open. A guy like Caron Brookins, who's also coming in, he's also a wide receiver that we have in this class. He's a big wide receiver, so he can get the jump balls, but he's very good at getting open too. Xavier Robbins, though, he's one of those guys where if you look at the top wide receivers in the NFL, you look at Ja'Marr Chase, you look at Justin Jefferson, you look at Cooper Kupp, you look at whoever you want to talk about. I don't know, is Cooper Kupp still one of the better wide receivers?
He is, yeah.
I mean, even CeeDee Lamb, they're all about 6 foot to 6 foot two. That's kind of the range that you want because,
right,
especially for us, if we're going after a 6 foot six guy who's like a really good track star, he's probably going to be a five star.
Right.
We got to find guys that, you know, can stay committed to Iowa State and love Iowa State and feel like they're at home here and not look onward. Xavier Robinson, being from Valley High School, an Iowa kid going to an Iowa school, really athletic, talented guy, is a guy that the fan base can wrap their arms around. And I think he could be one of the better wide receivers to come through Iowa State. Definitely.
Good, good. Dude, I'm really, really, really excited for that. So the next question I have, we're going to go national. I'm pretty sure if you've been following on Twitter, about this Lincoln Cure guy that K-State fans keep talking about. What can you tell me more about him?
Oh, man. So, I don't want to bash on another team's recruit. Like, I'm not coming on here and bashing on him. And I really don't really have negative things to say about him. When you have a five-star tight end, you have to be very careful because – five-star tight ends, you're basically saying, like, we got a Kyle Pitts, or we got
– Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers. But Brock Bowers wasn't even a five-star. So it's – you really got to be conscious of that. Darnell Washington, I think that's what his name was, the big, big dude from Georgia, was a five-star guy. Tight ends, when they get ranked five stars, it's usually because they're huge, they're very athletic, and, you know, they just look like monsters out there. And there's not very – it's not very often that you get a five-star tight end. Rob Gronkowski was not a five-star tight end. It's really because it's incredibly difficult to figure out who are going to be the big-time tight ends. Because tight ends are usually just bigger than every high school kid that they play. So it's kind of hard to separate, like, who's really good and who's just good. When I looked at Lincoln Cure's tape, and I looked at it like a few days ago, because I'm like, okay, there's all this hoopla from all the Kansas State fans. Let me figure out what's so good about this guy. When I took a look at him, the guy that comes to mind, and I hate saying this, but it's Ben Bramer.
Okay.
It's a tall, fast, wide receiver type tight end that, you know, he can block too, but he's playing small town teams. He's playing on grass fields. He's bigger than every guy that he's playing against. And it's really hard to gauge, you know, how good is this guy really?
Right.
I think that Lincoln Cure, and here's the other thing. I think Ben Bramer should have been a high four-star player, if not a five-star. I think he should have been a high four-star guy. And we saw it last year. We're going to see it this year. Ben Bramer ridiculous. Ben Bramer will be the best tight end to come to Iowa State. He's ridiculous.
That was my prediction, man. I keep telling people Ben Bramer is the truth, dude. He's going to pop off this year.
Yeah, and – but I would say that Lincoln Cure is probably right about there. I think he's kind of – I'm not saying, like, he's overrated, like, oh, he's he's crap. No, I would say that he should be a high four-star guy. When you put that five-star accolade on him, you're also adding that pressure of being a five-star that in the Kansas State system, I don't know if he will produce to what a five-star should produce. So I'm hoping he goes to Oregon. He'll probably go to Kansas State, though.
I'm already ready here.
He goes to Georgia.
That would be amazing at the end if he does a switch like that. I would be laughing so hard.
Man, I hope he goes to Kansas, to be honest.
KU, oh, they would be pissed if that happened.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But anyway.
Well, I think that's all the time we have today.
Sure.
Eric, thank you for joining me. We're definitely going to have you on during the season and probably on for the preview of the roster. Everybody, fans and loyal listeners, we look forward to bringing you next week's show when Cody and I return, and we're going to be talking about the defensive side of the ball. So for Tyler Carter and Eric Hessing, this is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Go Cyclones.
Go Cyclones.